standing back there thinking about our trip to Mexico and how we're planning it. And if we leave the van down there and give it away, Brother George has said that he would come to the border and pick us up. Brother Williams could bring us back to the border, and they would pick us up in a rental van. I got to thinking, standing back there, if there's other families in the church that would like to go with us to Mexico, we could rent a van and leave it at the border with Brother Hsu, Brother Jeff Hsu, or with Brother Walter, either one. Brother Walter's there in Laredo, and we could take several people down there with us, and it wouldn't cost you anything but the food you eat and your motel bill, one or night down there and one back, something like that. And we've got money that's been designated for gasoline expense. And if some of you would like to go and be down there in the meeting, let me know. I'd love for it to take you. I mean that. I'd love to take a whole van load. Can you hear me all right? Give me a little more volume, Brother Robert. You can. And I'd love to take a whole van load down there if the Lord would allow us to do that. And you can see me after church. We've got a few days left before we have to leave. And make sure you get everything together. All you ladies is getting the things together to take to the preacher's wives. And get your money in for the preacher's wives' gift. And if somebody would like to throw in an extra little bit of money to help toward the expense and trip down there, that'd be a real blessing and a help to us, okay? All right, I'm going to ask you to turn it maybe down just a little, Brother Robert. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter again this morning. 1 Peter and chapter number 1 in the Word of God. 1 Peter and chapter number 1 in the Word of God. I want to read verse number 1. All I'm going to be reading or trying to read. These glasses that I have, I think they're a greater hindrance than they are. And the light situation could be somewhat better. All right, 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the morning hour that You've given us together. I pray, Father, that You would bless me now with spiritual wisdom and with Holy Ghost power. I pray, Father, that You'd help the people this morning, that their hearts would be open to the truth of the Word of God. I pray that You'd revive us, that we might rejoice in Thee. And I pray, Lord, You'd reconcile sinners unto Yourself. May the Spirit of God move through this place like a mighty rushing wind. And Lord, may Your people that are here today know what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. Live a dedicated, separated, holy life unto Thee. I pray that You'll give me liberty this morning and holy power to preach the Word of God. I know, Lord, I need Your divine help because of the spirit that is here this morning, a good spirit, but a low spirit. And I need Your help. I pray You'll fill me and bless me and deliver souls this morning for Jesus' sake. And we'll thank You for it in Christ's wonderful and holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read the first few words of this text, verse, and continue our study in the book of 1 Peter. The Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to be preaching on this morning. And Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, the last time that I preached from this book, I simply spoke on Peter's purpose for writing the book of 1 Peter. And it was to exhort those believers in the Word of God and to testify to them, or that is, to witness to them that what he was writing is true. Now, today, I'd like to speak for just a little while, if God would help me, on the commission that God gave him. And I'm preaching this morning just simply on Peter's commission. What is Peter's commission? I want to begin by saying every preacher that God calls is assigned to a specific task. He is given a particular message, and he is sent to a specific people. Every man that God calls. And I want to say by the authority of the Word of God that God does call men to preach the gospel. I'm satisfied, and I don't mean to sound critical, but I'm satisfied that our pulpits are filled up today with men that have never had the call of God upon their life. In fact, I heard one just recently that made a statement earlier that he was never called to preach, that he just started preaching, and God didn't stop him, so he just continued on. Well, I want to say it's not that way in my life. I remember the Wednesday night at Bible Baptist Church when the Holy Ghost of God separated me to preach the gospel. There has been a holy call put upon my life. Somebody said, "Preacher, what would you do if you didn't preach?" I don't know. I've not got to heaven yet, so I can't tell you. Now, you'll catch that after a while. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I'll tell you, a man of God that is called will either preach the gospel, go on the shelf, or go to heaven, one of the three. And Peter here is a God-called, commissioned man that was sent to a specific people, to those strangers in Cappadocia, Galatia, Asia, Bithynia, and those that were scattered abroad. God sent him to a specific people with a specific message to preach and declare unto those people. Now, the people may differ in many ways. The task may be easier for some people than it is others. And the basic message may even be unique in one from another. But I'll tell you, the bottom line of a commissioned preacher is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, "He separated me from my mother's womb and called me to preach the gospel." I'll tell you, the people may look different. They may have different colors of skin. They may even be different in their makeup. Their personalities may differ. But I'm telling you that the message that God has given His man is Christ and Him crucified, the very hope of the world. I want to say right off, and I don't want to get in the flesh, but I'm sick and tired of hearing preachers preach, and all they want to do is give illustration after illustration after illustration, or tell story after story after story. I never forgot what Brother Elliott Smith said. He said, "We got a lot of skyscraper preachers in America today. They have one story on top of another story on top of another story." I've never forgotten what Harold Seitler told us in Bible college. He said, "Men, when you go out to preach, illustrations are all right. But," he said, "the best illustrations that you'll ever find are those that are given in the Word of God." In other words, go to that Bible and illustrate what you're preaching from that Bible. Somebody said, "Preacher, how can that be?" It's very simple, because Paul said, "Preach the Word." Paul did not say, ladies and gentlemen, Paul did not say to preach your opinion or to preach fables or to preach fairy tales, but he did say that the time would come that men would not endure sound doctrine, but they would be turned aside unto fables and to fairy tales, and that's what the world is looking for today. But I'm telling you, a God-called man is a leather-lung, sin-hating, God-loving preacher that will preach heaven sweet and hell hot, amen, and just preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that Christ came into the world, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, was buried in a tomb, rose again, ascended back to heaven, and thanks be unto God, He is coming again with life and liberty to all that believe. Amen. Peter's commission. See, some folks think preachers can go anywhere, do anything. But that's not so.
God's got a persimmon tree for every possum He calls. That is, He's got a particular place, a particular people, and I'm glad I found my place. And I'm glad I found my people, and I'm as happy as a hog rooting and slop at the lower end of the trough. Amen. I'm happy right here where I am. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Now, I want us to look, if we can, for just a minute again, at the spiritual name, and I'll get into the message in a minute, the spiritual name that our Lord gave this apostle. He uses the word in this text. He uses Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, which simply by interpretation is a stone. And I want to say that Peter truly possesses all the characteristics of a stone in writing this book. In 2 Peter, he addressed himself as Simon Peter. In 1 Peter, he addressed Peter, I'm a stone. I'm a stone. And by the way, you read through that book, you'll find that he was a stone. Because the basic theme running throughout this book is the trials of God's people and the sufferings that they're going to go through. And Peter is writing not only by inspiration, but he is writing by experience, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, preachers ought to preach by experience. Not what somebody else done, but what they've experienced in their own life. And Peter is truly a stone. He is telling this people by writing this book that I have made it through the trials. God upheld me in all my tribulations. God succored me in all of my sufferings that I had. And I have made it by the grace of God. He truly is a stone, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder if there's any stones in the house of God today. I'm talking about men that are rocks in the house of God. I'm talking about men that have been through the trials and the tribulations, through the hard times of life, and God has sustained you by His marvelous, wonderful grace. Old Brother Brown comes up here and he sings that song, Sustaining Grace. I'm thank God we've got sustaining grace. Amen. For by grace are you saved. And by grace are you sustained. And by grace do you stand, ladies and gentlemen, in this world that we're living in. And as sure as 2 and 2 is 4, there's going to come tribulation upon the church and suffering upon the church and tribulation upon the church. And you better be prepared in your heart to face the problems of life that are coming our way. I'm satisfied that the church that we're living in today, we are living, ladies and gentlemen, in the last days, and we're going to experience things that the church has never before experienced in its year. I heard one of them little whistle britches boys that runs 1500 the other night make the statement that he's sick and tired of hearing preachers talk about how we're living in the Laodicean church age. Well, bless his little heart, I'd like to know where we are living if we're not. Amen. We are living in the Laodicean church age. You better believe it. We're living in the days of Lot. Look at the Sodomites that are in the world. We're living in the days of Noah. Look at the violence that is in the world. There has never been so much violence as we're seeing today. And the Sodomites have come out of the closet. And if we're not living in the last days, I don't know what we're living in. And by the way, we're living in an age of rebellion when men are rebelling against the authority of the Word of God. Amen. They're rebelling against the authority of the church. And they're rebelling against the authority of the man of God. Amen. Ought never to be. But we're living there. We're living in those last days. So old Peter is truly a rock in this book. But in 2 Peter, he says Simon Peter. He does that for two reasons. Number one, to remember where he was when the Lord found him. Just a common fisherman. Amen. We ought to never forget where the Lord found us. Come on in the house and help me. I'm telling you where God found you. One preacher said it right, and I'll mimic him if I can. God found all of us out behind the barn in a dunghill. The Bible said that He lifted us up out of the dunghill. Oh, we are nobodies, but thank God somebody found us, and He's going to make somebodies out of us someday, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. I've never forgotten where I was. Lost in sin. Wild, woolly, and wicked. Amen. Meaner than a devil. Meaner than a junkyard dog. Meaner than a snake. But God found me. I was like a little wild donkey that no man ever set on. No man could tame it. I'm telling you one thing. When God the Holy Ghost sat down on me, I guarantee you, He tamed me and brought me into a place. Serenity and submission. Amen. Now, I've never forgotten where God found me. You see, we've gotten so goody, goody, goody that we forgot what we are. We're dust. We're clay. And I've got news for you. You came out of the dust and you're going back to it. Come on in the house now. When Simon Peter reminded him what he was, but and to remind him of the humility that he ought to have. Amen. We ought to be a little bit humble if we can just get a hold of what we were when God found us. Amen. Praise God, I've never seen such a haughty spirit in people in my life. It's what they are in 2006. Amen. Haughty-headed and high-minded. Full of pride and full of arrogance. May I say to you that pride, ladies and gentlemen, is a terrible sin of the heart. We talk about people smoking and this and that, and I'm not in favor of that. I don't think anybody ought to smoke. But I'm telling you that pride is worse than smoking a cigarette. I'm not giving you a license to smoke. I think you ought to quit them. They'll kill you. They'll kill you. Amen. One preacher said they won't send you to hell to make you smell like you've been there, though. Amen. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, pride. He said Simon Peter, he was humble as he wrote that book. Amen. Reminding himself of where God brought him from. And get a hold of this. But when he said Simon Peter, not only where God brought him from, but what God was making out of him. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what, as the old black preacher said, I'm not what I'm going to be one of these days either. Praise God, God's still working on me. Hallelujah. Amen. And I thank God that there's a work of grace going on in our heart. Peter said, thank God I'm Simon Peter, and God's still working in my heart to make me what I ought to be. Amen. And so that spiritual name gave him his office. He said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, that is his office. And let me say this, there are no apostles today. The word in the general sense means one sent. And God does send men today. But an apostle had to be one who was not only sent, but one who had seen the Lord. Now, I'm telling you, I've never seen him. Well, Robert said he saw him and he was 900 foot high. I'd hate to think my God was that little. God's bigger than that, amen. I say that. God's bigger than that, amen. Come on in the house. There are no apostles today. Fellow over in Jeffersonville, Indiana, said he went out west. Billy Branham said he went out west. And God revealed to him the seventh seal that was sealed up in the book of the Revelation. He come back and preached to his people that he was the last apostle, and God had revealed to him what was sealed up in the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, what's sealed in that book will stay sealed. And what God has opened, God will open, ladies and gentlemen. You better believe it. Amen. And God's able to reveal truth out of that book, what is already written, that He's not going to show us anything more or less than what is already in that Bible. Amen. Come on in the house. His office was an apostle, meaning one sent. Now get a hold of this. He was called as Simon, but he was sent as Peter. Aren't you glad that God called... Somebody said, preacher, what's that mean? That means that God called him as a sinner. God called, hey, thou shalt be called, John 1:42, thou shalt be called Cephas, by interpretation of stone. And then he turned right around and said, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad that God calls sinners. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad God's able yet today, by the power of the Holy Ghost, to reach down into the depths of the soul of a sinner and call a sinner out of this world and out of sin into the marvelous light and the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God He can roll back the veil, amen, open up blinded eyes, unstop your ears. He's able to cleanse lepers. He's able to heal withered hands. He's able to raise the dead. I'm telling you, God called sinners to repentance. I'm going to tell you, a bunch of self-righteous hypocrites ain't never going to get in. I never seen so many self-righteous heathen in all my life. Amen. That's right. They think they never do anything wrong. They're self-righteous. They're just perfect. They've arrived. I don't know anybody that's arrived yet, buddy. Paul hadn't. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. He hadn't got there yet. Amen. Some of them, I'm telling you, our world is filled up with self-righteous hypocrites. Now, I'm telling you, God didn't come to call the righteous, but sinner to repentance. And it says in Hebrews 10 that Israel going about to establish their own righteousness had not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And I tell you, a self-righteous hypocrite will die in his sins and burn in hell. And amen. And they'll burn in hell until they realize and learn who they are, what they are, and where they are when God found them. I'm sick and tired of nose wrinkling. Some folks, bless God, could go outside in a rainstorm, they'd drown. Nose cocked up in the air, better than everybody else. You ever hear them? Well, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do this. Well, what do they do? Do they do anything for God? Come on in the house. Do they do anything for God? His office. He was called as Simon. He was sent as Peter. The Lord first calls men to Himself. Then He sends them with the power of the Spirit of God to fulfill their mission. That's exactly what God did to Peter. Church, I'm telling you this for your benefit. I don't know why God had me to preach. It's in the books. One reason I got to preach on it this morning. But it might help enlighten your eyes. I'll soon be 60 years old. I may not be around all the time. And if you ever call some little Johnny come whistle britches lately, egg sucking devil with wearing lace on his pantyhose, bless God in here to preach to you, I'm going to pray that God haunt you. Get you some leather lung preacher to get in here, bless God, and preach against your sin and pray for your children and love you in the Lord and tell you when you're wrong and brag on you when you're right. Hallelujah. And a man that'll love you even when you sin. God loved us in our sin. Amen. That's right. Now, I'm fixing to get down. Some of you ain't going to like this. But His office, along with that office, there comes a certain amount of authority. God give Peter some authority. Peter's office and authority are both a miracle and a marvel of the divine grace of God. Here he is, a fisherman. Somebody turn these arrows. Is that our arrow back there? Is it running? Turn it down and let it run a little more. Divine miracle of what Peter was when God found him, just a common fisherman. Hey, He found him just a common man. I wonder if there's any of you common men in here today. Come on in the house. Just common men that are qualified that God might call you to Himself, that He might send you to preach the gospel of Christ. I wonder if there's any of you young men in here that are willing to yield yourselves unto the Lord and let God call you and then God save you and send you out to do a work for God. Somebody said, well, I can't do it. Neither could Peter. He was just a fisherman. He didn't know nothing about preaching. He didn't know nothing about God. You notice God didn't call none of them Pharisees as the disciples to follow, the apostles to follow him. Except one born out of due time, that's Paul. Are you listening? God calls common, ordinary folk. Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called, what Paul said in Corinthians. And there's not, friend. You can't do anything with that kind. The only people God can do anything with are those that realize they're nothing. Amen. And they're nobodies. Amen. If you'll ever realize you're a nobody, someday God will make you a somebody. Amen. That's right. Now he had authority. Now, notice this. And don't close your mind to thought now. He had authority to edify. Somebody said, preacher, you got authority confused. God had given him some authority, some ability. That authority that he gave him was to edify the people of God. I want you to listen closely. Now, I know this is Brother Paul writing in 2 Corinthians 10, but I want you to listen carefully to what he said. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority. What are we talking about our? He wasn't but one. He's talking about the authority God gave the apostles, the 12 of them. Paul was the 12th one, I believe. Our authority, which the Lord hath given us for what, Paul? For edification. And for your and not for your destruction, that I should not be ashamed. Now that word edify simply means to build up. Paul and Jude said in Jude 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, amen, praying in the Holy Ghost. I want you to come in here and listen to Brother Hall just a minute. If we can get this thing together, we can do something. That is, if you can begin building up yourself, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And Brother Hall can build you up preaching in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The church will get somewhere. But until then, we're not going to get there. I can try my best to edify you with the authority God's given me to build you up. But I'm telling you, unless you are willing, ladies and gentlemen, to receive what I say and do to yourself what God has told you to do, you ain't going to get built up.
Amen.
Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How are you going to do that, Brother Hall? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Not 1, 2, 3, mumbling, pegging around, praying in the Holy Ghost. When was the last time that you knew you prayed in the Holy Ghost? Read it, Jude 20, read it for yourself. Hey, when was the last time that you prayed in the Holy Ghost? I mean, you know that you got in behind the veil, that you got in the presence of God. Now, I'm telling you, that will do more for you in your own personal life than anything I know. Pray it. Some of us, like Dino, don't pray at all. Dino down in Knoxville said, Dino prays on the golf course. I said, Dino, don't pray at all, buddy. Miss Hall said, hush up. I'm talking about in church. He said, Dino prays driving down the highway. I said, Dino, don't pray at all. Out loud. My wife said, honey, please. You can tell me it's preaching, Dino didn't pray. Now, I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if we can get this thing together, if you can pray yourself and build up yourself, I can't do it all.
Amen.
As I told them in Sunday school, you're going to have to do part of it. I cannot do it all. But if we can get this thing running together, you can go home this week and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and build up yourself. Let me come to church and preach and build you up. I'll guarantee that's called edification. And he gave some evangelists, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and some teachers. For what, Brother Hall? For the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Building up. Hey, ain't nobody in here this morning needs to build up, is there? Something got me terribly hoarse in here this morning for some reason. I don't know what it is. I don't believe I got enough volume. I believe it's my problem. Are you listening to me? Ain't nobody in here needs to build up a little bit, are they? Some of you in here so stinking low, you'd have to get a stepladder, bless God, and tie your shoes this morning. You're lower than Jonah. He went down into the sides of the mountains. Wrapped about with seaweed. You're so low. Your spirit is so low in you. You better learn to pray. Building up yourselves. Edifying yourself. Somebody said, well, preacher, how can you pray and edify yourself? I don't know, but go to that great chapter in Corinthians where it talks about talking in tongues and all that. Where Brother Paul said that praying and preaching and prophesying edifies! Edifies the body!
Amen.
Well, I'm telling you, you get in a closet of prayer, God get in there with you. You come out of kicking and stomping.
Yes.
Out in the woods, bless God, shaking hands with ever sassafras sapling there is growing in the bushes.
Amen.
Come to church with something in your heart besides defeat.
Amen.
And a spring in your step.
Amen.
Having yourself built up.
Yes.
And then let the man of God preach just a little while on the cross. And we're out of here. We're on cloud nine. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But I can't do it myself. It's going to take you to do it. And God commissioned Peter to edify. God commissions His men today to edify. But the church must help the preacher out just a little bit.
Amen.
Am I listening? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, listen carefully. You also give him authority not only to edify, but to establish. To establish the people. That is, by explaining more fully the doctrines of Christianity to them as being new converts. And by the way, God does give the preacher some authority to establish folks in Bible doctrine. And you'd be amazed at the people that don't listen to a thing the preacher says about doctrine.
Amen.
And they're carried away with every wind of doctrine themselves. And you know why? Because they know more than the man of God does. I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. If you knew more than the man of God does, God have you up there, not him.
Amen.
God don't make any mistakes.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, somebody said, I wouldn't say some of the things you do. I know you wouldn't. That's why God called me to preach and not you.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
You don't have to listen to what the man of God says and grow in grace.
Amen.
And grow in knowledge from what the preacher tells you.
Amen.
I don't believe we got too many listening this morning. Amen. Establish you by explaining more fully the doctrines of Christianity to you. By direct persuading them to a holy conversation. Here's where the rubber's going to meet the road. Everybody listening to me? A holy conversation means a separated,
amen,
dedicated life.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, don't have the right to tell me how I should dress. I beg to differ with you. God has given authority and commissioned His men to to tell you how to dress and how to grow in grace. Amen. How to live a holy conversation in this world that we're living in. Oh, Brother Hall, you don't have any right to tell me I can't listen to country music. I have every right in the world to tell you that it will cloud up your mind. Oh, you don't have any right to tell us that rock and roll music is wrong. I have every right in the world. And by the way, I have the authority from God to tell you that.
Amen.
I'm going to keep telling you that. Oh, Brother Hall, you don't have any authority to tell us that women ought not to wear breeches. I've got every authority right to tell you that God said it's an abomination to you to put on the apparel of a man. Oh, come on, Brother Hall. Amen. I've got every right in the world to tell you ladies that you are to dress in modest apparel. Amen. That word modest means long, flowing, and loose. I seen some little old girls down there at that camp. Son, they looked like they'd been melted and run down in their clothes.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, I've seen some of them when they get up, they'd have to pull their skirt up because they keep them pulled so far down. And little old blouses fits them just like it's molded to them. And a little old skirt like it's molded to the hind end. Hey, come on in the house. Somebody said, oh, there ain't nothing wrong with that. No, not if you want every man in the country to lust after you, there's not.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with that. If you want every man to commit adultery in his heart with you, there's not.
Amen.
Anybody listening to me this morning? Oh, Brother Hall, you don't have any right to tell us we can't wear slits in our dresses.
Amen.
Brother Hall, you don't have any right to tell me as a man how to cut my hair.
Right.
Preacher, you don't have any right to tell a woman how long her hair ought to be. I can tell you it's her glory. And God's given me the right and the authority to tell you that. And bless your heart, I'm going to keep on telling you.
Amen.
Amen. Might as well hit Hollywood a little bit.
Amen.
You hear what the guest preacher said down there one night? He preached against Michael Jordan, basketball, up one side, down the other, and then said, now wait a minute, I want you to understand, I'm not against Michael Jordan. I said, I am! Out loud.
Amen.
And I lie not.
Amen.
He said, I'm not against basketball. I said, I am.
Amen.
I don't want our boys thinking they're like Mr. Air Jordan.
Amen.
A single leap and one bound. Thinking they're Superman.
Amen.
I don't want your hero to be Air Jordan.
Amen.
Or Bird. Or Tiger Woods.
Amen.
Now, I don't even know any of the baseball players' names. Now, I don't know many of the basketball players' names.
Amen.
I don't read the mess and don't give a rat flip.
Amen.
Tell you what, I have told you a long time, when they play, I hope they both lose.
Amen.
I said, you don't have any authority. Yes, I have. I'm not an apostle, but I'm one called and one sent with authority.
Amen.
Now, I want to say this to you. I want everybody to listen to what I'm telling you. If you really believe that I'm saved, called of God, and sent to this place, when you rebel against what I preach, you're not rebelling against me. You are rebelling against God.
Amen.
Well, this God's book, and God's the one that told me what to preach. That's why I preach on them DVDs. That's right. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you got televisions, I know that, and I love you anyway. Some of y'all love you. Some of you watch DVDs. And I said last week, I preach on them DVDs, that I'm confident that some of them little things ain't going to hurt you. But I know what it leads to.
Amen.
I know what it leads to.
Amen.
Some of you may not have TVs. Some of you may watch it on a monitor or something like that. But I'm telling you that you can put just as much on a monitor as you can on a television set. And you can come just as close to monitoring a television set as you can a DVD and a computer. I can monitor what I watch on that television. I can monitor what I'd watch on DVD. I've watched one movie on DVD. I'll tell you what it was. It was Brother Nolan's Women over there singing. They made a DVD out of them singing Brother Richard. And I put it in my computer and listened to them sing. Watch them. That's what I've watched on it.
Man.
Now, I'm not trying to deprive you of everything. You got quiet. I want to say again that I'm telling you there's probably some little things that you can watch on that thing that is not going to drag you down in sin. But, son, I'm telling you that we're to abstain from all appearance of evil. Amen. Come on in the house now. And I'm trying to help you and tell you that those things can lead to greater things. I had a television set and said, now I'm going to get a TV, and all I want to do is watch the news. I'll guarantee you it wouldn't be a month till I'd be watching something besides the news. Oh, this little thing ain't going to hurt this much. This ain't going to hurt this much. And the next thing you know, I'd come into church instead of having something to preach on Sunday mornings. My eyes would be galled red from watching the late show. When I was a boy growing up, we had a TV set, Brother George. And when they'd go off tonight, they'd play the national anthem. They'd go off at 12 o'clock every night playing the national anthem. When the national anthem went off, that screen would go, phew! And it started coming out, and it decreased till there's just a little old dot. But I would sit there and watch until that little dot was gone. Amen. Peter had the authority to establish them, and to establish them is by grounding them in holy conversation, to teach them faithful discharge of their personal and relative duties, to help secure their peace and their effectual and effectually confute the slanders and reproaches of the enemy. God said, Peter's got the authority to establish you in some peace in your heart, regardless of what men say. When I was reviled, I reviled not again. The reproaches of them that reproach God have fallen upon me, Jesus said. Or is anybody listening to me? He had the authority to prepare them for the suffering and trials that lay ahead. And they had the authority to educate them. Not only to establish, but to educate them. He said in 1:14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust, your ignorance. He said in chapter 2 and verse 2, and newborn babies then desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So he had the authority to educate them. Amen. Then he had the authority to admonish them. Peter was an apostle as well as a man. A man of God today. And he had the authority. Listen carefully now, because we're getting down to where the nitty gritty's at. He had the authority to warn them of impending danger in the home. I said, now, preacher, you have no right to interfere in our private life at home. Have every right in the world to enter into your private life at home and tell you how to live at home. Come on in the house. And I said, I don't believe that. Well, I'm fixing to prove it to you right here. I'm fixing to prove it to you. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband. Not somebody else's husband, your own husband. Now, is that getting into the home or not? I know it's getting late. I got to hurry. Is that getting into the home or not? Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. I didn't write that. God wrote it. You've got a problem with it, lady. Take it up with God. Don't take it up with me.
Amen.
God doesn't intend a woman to be a big mouth, arrogant, controller and ruler of the home.
Right.
I don't believe in divorce at all. Some people have gotten divorced. Don't make them second rate. I still love them. People here's divorced. I still love them. They're not second rate Christians. They made a mistake. They have eliminated themselves from certain offices, but there's still certain things they can do in the house of God. Now, I've never advocated divorce. But if I was married to some, I was a woman married to some men I've met, I would contemplate murder! I'm thinking of a preacher right now, and everybody in here knows him. I wouldn't say it for nothing in the world, but his wife rules him. Son, she is the boss! God has said that the man is the head of the woman. And Christ is the head of the man. And God is the head of Christ. On in the house. How you heads doing in here this morning? God's getting, look here. And somebody says, well, I'm afraid to take authority in my house. Why? God gave it to you. Well, I'm afraid if I take that authority, my wife will leave. No, God gave it to you. If she's right with God, she ain't going to leave. She might puff up, swell up, blow up. She ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
But likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them as the weaker vessel, giving honor unto them as the weaker vessel.
Right,
praise God, I'm right. What do you have to always be right for?
Amen.
Have you ever apologized to your wife? Not me, buddy. You pulled me out of day, Reb. Your wife's not as ignorant, gentlemen, as what you think she is. Oh, she's got a wonderful place in the home. I don't got a wonderful place in the home. God give Peter the authority. Get into the home. Our church will not go as high as God wants it, as far as God wants it, till the homes are made right.
Right. Amen.
Homes represent the church.
Amen.
Husbands and wives sleeping in separate rooms. Now, I'm just putting it like it is, Brother Billy. There'll never be a day like that in the hall, family.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My wife tells me she's going to another room. I'm going with her. You could sleep on the porch swing. I'd be out there with her.
Amen.
You know what she told me this morning? She said, many more nights like last night, buddy, and you're moving out. I said, what did I do? She said, you don't remember? I said, what? She said, I woke you up and there's groaning and moaning and carrying on and screaming and hollering. What was I saying, honey? That one time, get me out of the grass or don't pull me down. What was I saying? Yeah. I said, if I keep eating, I'm going to get a second job. I know I woke up one time dreaming about old Charlie over there on my heels again. But she ain't moving out of that bedroom. I can't imagine it. God has made twain one flesh. And what God joined together, let not man put asunder, by the way. And when God took a rib out of Adam, he didn't take a half a dozen, he took one. One. And God shows mercy, Miss Patty. He went to that woman at the well, talked to her for a while, said, go get your husband. He said, I don't have one. He said, you've spoken well. He said, you've had five, and the man you're living with is not your husband. She said, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. And I'm going to tell you what. She had five husbands.
shacked up with one, but when she met seven, which is a perfect number, she met the perfect man of her life. And although she had been married five times and shacked up, God loved her and God saved her and delivered her from that sin. She went into that city, left that water pot, said, well, that thing, said, come see a man, told me all things ever I did. You know what she's saying? She said, that man knows all about me and still loves me. That man knows all about me and still give me a drink of living water, something I've never had before. Oh, praise God. Amen. Well, I'm going to have to hurry. Warn of impending danger in the home. God give a man and God the authority to warn of impending danger down to church. The house of God. He said in 3:8, said, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. God said, I want y'all to be of one mind at the church house. No cliques. No bias. No favorites. Be of one mind. Think alike. Work alike. Be alike. Show compassion one to another and love one another. Be pitiful toward one another. Be courteous. Be kind. And don't revile when you are reviled. I'll tell you what, he's got the authority to warn you of impending danger in your own personal heart. He said in chapter 5, verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due time. Amen. You know, for a long time, I want you to get a hold of this. For a long time, Brother George, I thought that he was talking about, when he said, you younger be subject unto the elder. I thought for a long time he was talking about all the elders in the church, but that's not plural, it's singular. You know where I'm going, don't you? Read it. He didn't say all of you be subject unto the elders. He said be subject unto the elders. And in the context, he's talking about the men of God. I exhort the elders among you, which am also an elder. He said be subject unto the elders. Now come on in the house. You're not to be a rebel against a man of God. And I hate to preach this myself, but I'm telling you that under the authority of the Word of God, God's people are to have some sort of subjection unto the authority of the man of God. But I can also take you to a scripture and show you where the man of God is under authority of the church.
Right.
And so it's on an even keel.
Amen. Amen.
No big eyes, no little U's. That's why he said be subject one to another. Then his ability. God give him some ability. The Lord does the same for all of us today. The Bible said in all that, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, Paul said in 1 Timothy 1 and 2, hath enabled me, having counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God give him ability. What about that? Now, listen carefully. Ability to stir. 2 Peter 2:13, he said, yea, I thank it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I want to ask you one question this morning. Are you stirrable? Are you pliable? If you're set up in your mind like concrete, I can't stir you up.
Amen.
People that are set in their mind, and they've already made up their mind what they're going to do, can never be stirred by the man of God.
Right.
Let her get down, ma'am, let her get down and run a little bit. It ain't going to hurt, ma'am. We don't mind. Let her get down and run. You'll be all right. Excuse me, see there? She's a nice frog there. Yeah, all right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you stirrable? If you already made up your mind, you're done. You're not going any further. I'm going to be honest with you. If you have made up your mind, you're not going any further. I'm wasting my time here with you.
Amen.
And I don't have enough time to waste.
Amen.
I want some people that's ready to go on.
Amen.
To be stirred. Some of you men hadn't said amen, but God's along. I don't even know if you've got any vocabulary or not. We've lost our shout. Lost her joy, lost her power. Are you stirrable? And he did it by putting them in remembrance.
Amen.
Why don't you let your mind go back just a few years to the slime pit you was in when God found you?
Amen.
And see where you're living today. If there's anybody in here that had it better when they were lost than they've got it now, stand up. I cannot conceive anybody thinking they had a better life lost than they'd have saved, friend.
Amen.
And if we're truly saved, then we ought to be pliable in the hands of God and let God shape us and mold us. And he does that by the man of God stirring up the people. That stirring up means bringing the best to surface. Like plunging an old creamer. Anybody ever see Grandma do that? Put milk in one of them old churns. Pump it up and down. You know what it does? It brings the cream to the top.
Amen.
And when God stirs you up, he brings the cream to the top.
Amen.
The best you got in you, God brings her to the top, friend. It's just like sifting you. The Lord told Simon Peter, said, Simon Peter, Simon, Satan had desired to have you to make sift you this week. Satan said, goody, goody, goody. I got old Peter now. Lord, you're going to let me sift him. God put him in the sieve. And old Satan just began to sift and sift. And he said, look at all that junk. Look at all that junk in this thing. When he got done sifting, he went over to the Lord. He said, now look at all that junk in Peter's life. The Lord said, no, that's not in Peter's life. Peter's life down here where you just sifted it out. You see what I'm telling you? Satan wants to sift you. And then take the residue, take the slum that's in your life, the sin that's in your life, and stick it under the Lord's nose and say, there's Andy, anonymous truck driver. Look at him. The Lord said, no, I didn't anonymous Andy truck driver. That's what you just took. You just done me a great favor. You just got that out of his life for him. Anonymous Andy's laying over on the doughboard getting ready to go in the oven. You just need to keep on mushing. Then the ability to scold. Somebody said, oh, God, help us. He said in 2:11, said, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against your soul. He said, Peter, you can scold them every now and then. I'm going to tell you something. Sheep need sheared, but not every Sunday.
Yeah.
Shear them every Sunday. I'm going to tell you what they're going to happen. They're going to be so raw, buddy. They're going to blood. You're going to be running out. You know what I'm saying? You don't shear them every Sunday. You wait till they get a good coat of wool, and then you get her off.
Yeah.
I try to preach to you the cross, and some of y'all just sit there and look at me like a calf in a new gate. If you'd shouted out with me, we'd preach on the cross every Sunday.
Amen.
Then the ability to sacrifice. Somebody said, Peter, what do you mean the ability to sacrifice? Do you think that Peter made any sacrifice in his life to write that book? I was in camp meeting for 4 weeks. Drove in yesterday. Went upstairs in my room after I eat. Upstairs in my room and stayed there till prayer time. Come down out of my room, come over here to prayer time. and went back home, went back up to my room for 10 o'clock last night. Come down, eat a sandwich, and went to bed. But God's given me. Some men may not have the ability to sacrifice that much of their time, but God's given me that ability. And I enjoy sitting alone with my Bible, with God. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Not an apostle of man, but Jesus Christ. And I could have preached on that Jesus Christ. He didn't say the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You know what that means? Come on in the house and listen to me. Jesus Christ. I'm an apostle sent from Him for what He taught on earth. Now what He's teaching in heaven is Christ. Jesus was on the earth. Christ has always been. Anybody in here this morning? Did I hit anybody? Anybody get scolded? Anybody get stirred? Anybody get hit with anything they need to get right about? Any young men, older men, you feel like God is calling you to send you? Right here's where you can settle. Anybody in here lost? Right here's where you can settle.